us. I was on the Scott Farrell show, Farrell on the Bench, on CBS Sports Radio. And it's interesting how folks on a national level are viewing the success, what the Titans are enjoying right now, comparing to the way that we're playing the wait-and-see game here. And I thought about it today, and I realized, well, they have the Jets. They have the Giants. So compared to what they have to deal with and what they're looking at and comparing to, you know, that to the success recently, especially with the Titans, I can see how they would be looking at the Titans a little bit differently than the way we do.
Well, how are they looking at them?
Well, in a positive way. For example, it's like they're taking on Oakland this week, and it was like, no big deal. And it's like, you know, the Titans can't take anybody for granted. You know, it's one of these things where take care of business one game at a time. Don't be already celebrating hosting a playoff game as the AFC South champs, per se. One game at a time is the best way to approach it with this team.
Well, exactly. But that's because we've been around the Titans for a while. We remember Mike Mularkey had a team that was atop the division, and they went to Arizona and then San Francisco, two teams that on paper should have been wins, with less wins combined than the Oakland Raiders have right now. And the Oakland Raiders are only two back in their division at the moment. And we understand that, we understand that in the past they have not always handled these situations properly. Now, that said, you know, I do think that it does feel like that we're dealing with a maybe perhaps different Titans team, Johnny, because this team has won four games where this season where they've been behind in the fourth quarter or trailed or tied, and they've managed to make the plays to pull out wins. You know, goal line stand, Logan Ryan interception, Joshua Kalu block, the block team coming through with again with a 63-yard touchdown on Sunday in Indy, a place where that was just their second win in Lucas Oil Stadium. So, you can look at this from afar and say they're doing everything good. I mean, you know, Derrick Henry, third in the league in rushing. Ryan Tannehill's right at the top of, you know, he's second in this, he's second in that, he's leading, you know, this. So, you know, they're doing, you look at those stats, it's tough not to be impressed. And then, oh yeah, a scoring defense that has jumped up to seventh in the NFL, you know, climbing their way back up to the top five defense. So, nine times this season, that defense has held an opponent to 20 points or less, which, you know, when you've got an offense that now, in Ryan Tannehill's span, since he took over as starter, second most points per game in the NFL in that span. Those are things that get attention and make you think, hey, this is a playoff team.
How about the fact, too, you mentioned Derrick Henry. Since the start of 2017, 2,943 yards. He's got a chance to do something on Sunday that's never been done in NFL history. He's already done this three straight games where he has at least 145 rushing yards and one rushing touchdown. Nobody in NFL history has ever done it four straight games. He has a chance to accomplish this on Sunday in Oakland.
Well, and that's the thing that makes you look and say, wow. And I think, you know, one of the things we were questioning earlier in the season was, why aren't they giving the ball to Derrick Henry more? Because anyone who watched last December, you know, the only question is, what could he start that way? And, you know, he kind of showed early that he was able to run that way, you know, north-south, you know, punish guys, demolish people. And we were all kind of wondering, why aren't you giving him the ball more? And now that you've got a threat of the pass, it does make it tougher. Teams know they got to stop Derrick Henry, but Tannehill is able to throw effectively enough and precise, that word, decisively enough, that you can't just go up there and put nine in the box and say we're gonna bat down the hatches and stop Henry, because they will hurt you down the field. And he's been throwing it. You know, his yards per attempt leads the NFL. That shows that you're willing to throw the ball down the field and take advantage of those wide open spaces. So that's why this offense is suddenly clicking. And when you've got the threat of being able to pass, like Tannehill gives them, that makes Derrick Henry even more effective. And, I mean, you know, that fourth and one play on Sunday, to me, is the one that, you know, kind of signifies just how dangerous he can be. They give him the ball, and he gets the first down, and forget it, he's going to the end zone. You know, 13-yard touchdown off a fourth and one play, where instead of just pounding it into the middle, you know, you give him a chance to go out a little bit and find some room, and, you know, that's all he needs. And I'm curious to see where he ends up. I mean, you know, think about this, Johnny. I've had a colleague of mine point out that, you know, if he can keep this up, maybe he has a chance not just at Pro Bowl this year, which when you look at the fact that, well, there's Nick Chubb leading the league right now, but Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey are in the NFC. So you would think that Derrick Henry's got a great chance to go Pro Bowl and for the first time in his career. But also, you know, what he's doing and what he's meant to this offense, All-Pro is not out of the consideration, which, you know, guess what? That's just going to drive up his price.
Well, and I think right now when you think about where he is as far as his rankings, you know, he was second in the league last year and he's third right now. But the fact that, and this is also taken in consideration, he wasn't properly used earlier this season. So if he continues the pace that he's on right now, who knows, he could end up being the leading rusher in the NFL after these last four games. We look at him right now, and I'm going to throw this out to you. You know, it kind of reminds me of back when we had Steve McNair and Eddie George. Who is the MVP right now of this Titans team?
That's a good question, because the way that Derrick Henry has run, I want to say him. But then when I look at how the offensive scoring numbers have jumped 5-1, you know, what's the difference? Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. So, you know, they've kind of gone hand in hand. And let's face it, before that, Brett Kern is the guy who, you know, kept them alive and, you know, helped. You know, he was the guy who was kind of standing out week in, week out through the first 6 weeks of the season. So it's not an easy thing to do. I think you kind of have to go with at least co-MVPs at this point.
And by the way, too, you brought the Titans defense, and that's something that has not gone unnoticed either from a national standpoint. They totally get what this Titans team, I mean, the first and foremost thing, forget about yards allowed or whatever, where you're ranked. The bottom line is the other team scoring? And that's one of the areas when you think about what this Titans defense has been able to do, especially even early on when the offense was struggling. It gave the Titans the opportunity to be in these games, to win these kind of games.
Well, absolutely. I mean, what the defense did in Cleveland helped them pull out that win, because that was a tight game until, you know, they had that little spurt there, and part of that was a pick six by Malcolm Butler, you know, and the 75-yard screen to Derrick Henry, yes. But, you know, the defense was a huge part of that game, the sacks and just getting the Browns off center and helped turn the tide in that game. And then at Atlanta, you know, a desperate Falcons team trying to get back on track at home, and, you know, they kind of helped smother them as the offense, you know, showed signs of life early in that game. So, yeah, the offense has been tremendous. I mean, you know, let's face it. And here's a stat that, you know, the Titans have been scoring so well over these 6 weeks. They're now up to 15 in the NFL in scoring. So when you've got an offense that can score like that with a defense that can just keep people out of the end zone, you know, if you're averaging 19.5 points a game, which is what the Titans are right now, guess what? That makes it easier for the offense to go out and get some points and put you in position to win games.
By the way, Florida State still has an opening as far as their head coaching vacancy, and one of the individuals that it could be the individual getting named to fill that spot, he's coaching in a game over at the Liberty Bowl on Saturday for the American Athletic Conference title as they take on Cincinnati again. Mike Norvell, do you think he goes? And if he does, what does that mean for Memphis football?
Well, when Justin Fuente left for Virginia Tech, that question was being asked, oh, my God, what is this going to do to Memphis football? And Mike Norvell showed that if you hire the right guy, that they can come in and build on that, and that's exactly what he's done. I mean, they've won three straight West Division titles in the American Athletic Conference. They're ranked 16 right now. They're playing for a title on Saturday at home, and if they win that, then they're most likely going to the Cotton Bowl, no matter who they play, you know, a New Year's Six Bowl, although it's being played on December 28th this year, which is kind of funny and a little disconcerting, but it's called a New Year's Six Bowl. So that success that people did not expect out of Memphis when Fuente left Virginia Tech, there was an, oh, my God, what's going to happen next? They hired Norvell, and he's managed to just simply build on what's there. He's shown what is possible in Memphis with that program, and, you know, and the fact that Penny's got the, Memphis basketball is ranked 15th, the football team is 16th, and they're getting an awful lot of attention down there for their athletics program. But they had College Game Day there a month ago. So, you know, things are absolutely possible there with the right coach. And that's the thing. Mike Norvell is dealing from a position of power because, you know, he can look around and say, you know what, if he doesn't, you know, if Florida State's not what he wants, he can always, you know, or yes, Arkansas has been mentioned with him because his wife's from Arkansas, an hour or so away from Little Rock, or Ole Miss, because of course Memphis is just a stone's throw from Oxford. But you know, if he could sit back and say, you know what, I've done this, you know, for 4 years, changing cast, brought in talent, my system's working. You know, he could also roll the dice and say, let's see what's open next year and see if I can maybe get a better opportunity. So. And yes, I've seen the scuttlebutt on social media, Johnny, that, you know, maybe Florida State's just waiting until that coach who has a game on Saturday, you know, finishes his game to make that announcement. So I will say this, the way Mike Norvell, he's putting on a little bit of a clinic on how coaches who are, you know, doing that next job dance can handle it really nicely, because he's managed to walk the line of being very focused on this week. And while deflecting and pointing out the fact that, you know, what we're doing here is why we're getting this attention.
Well, they do already have everything set up ready to go as far as for an announcement coming up this weekend down in Tallahassee. The only thing we don't know is what time and who that person is going to be. But knowing Matt Campbell, looks like he's going to stay at Iowa State. Looks like James Franklin's not doing anything except getting a pay raise. And so for me, it looks like Mike Norvell, leader in the clubhouse.
It certainly seems that way, and you know, but you know, shoot, there's still some people clinging to the idea that Bob Stoops is going to be the next Seminoles coach, matter how much he gets that down.
That's not going to happen. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But that's why this time of year is the silly season, and shoot, even the NFL is getting out on top of it. You know, firing Ron Rivera today.
Yeah, good point. All right, so Tennessee, 7-5. To me, the most critical thing about this, besides being bowl eligible, just the extra practice time that Jeremy Pruitt is going to have with his squad leading up to a bowl game, which, by the way, the nice reward, they're either playing in Jacksonville or playing in Tampa in one of those two bowl games. But the bottom line is nice reward for a team that started off 1-4.
Wait a minute, Johnny. Did you see the story that the Music City Bowl also wants Tennessee?
I've seen that. I understand.
Pat Ramsey is going to be very upset with you if you don't point that out. So the fact of the matter is, a good thing for the Tennessee Vols is they're wanted. That's what happens when you go on a run to finish the season and you get to 7 wins. You win 5 straight. You know, there is an upset over Mississippi State. You know, so you know there's some good wins in there. But you're absolutely right. No matter what the bowl is, Jeremy Pruitt, you know, a lot of young guys, they get a lot of, the bowl practice time. The bowl game's nice. That the swag that these kids get and everything, that's nice. But you know what matters most for the coaches and the program is the extra practice time, you know, so that they can, you know, you've got all this tape now. You can tweak, you can refine, you can, you know, now guys, have, you know, the light's starting to go on and you can maybe help, you know, fine-tune that a little bit. And gives you a jump start on spring practice and next season. And that's where, you know, let's face it, that's what Tennessee needs badly. And that's why, you know, conversely on West End, why people, you know, you can be a little upset because, you know, that's something that they got last year and they weren't able at the Vanderbilt to build off of that extra practice time that they had a year ago. You know, and you can point the blame not having a quarterback all you want, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Derek Mason builds this offseason to get his program back up because, the clock's ticking.
And by the way, as far as the Music City Bowl, if it's not Tennessee, you know, Kentucky will bring folks. Mississippi State fans will bring folks as well. So I think the bowl will be just fine this year.
Yeah, but, again, Kentucky has been here an awful lot. Probably not Kentucky. And we'll see if it's Mississippi State, will they get as excited if they don't get to, play against Ole Miss?
You had to go there. How much does it hurt Vanderbilt not having the practice sessions? Because a team that certainly you would think could use it, they're not bowl eligible. They will not have that opportunity.
A bunch. I mean, that's the thing. Look at how many young people that he had, playing on defense down the stretch. When he held out Keyshawn Vaughn out of the second half, nice move because that game was out of control. It didn't feel like Vanderbilt was going to have a chance to come back in that game, why pound this young man who is going to the Senior Bowl and, you know, had an injury? You don't aggravate that. So smart move, but, you know, you got a freshman some playing time, and he had a, career high, you know, what was it, 70 yards? But you don't have a chance to suddenly take that, get a little breather, and then get back out on the field. They're not going to be back on the field, what, the end of February, 1st of March. And, you know, these are kids. You know, shoot, I can't get my son to remember what I told him 5 minutes ago, let alone 5 weeks ago. So, you know, that's the thing. You miss the chance to move on. But, you know, on the other hand, maybe this is good because Derek Mason has made it clear that there's going to be some changes. And, you know, the biggest change you've got to make is find a quarterback.
Teresa Walker joining us tonight. The Nashville Predators, the first of three straight games at Bridgestone Arena tonight, is Tampa Bay. Here's the two teams that won the President's Trophy the last 2 years, Nashville 2 years ago, Tampa Bay last season. And oh, by the way, both of these teams find themselves in similar situations coming into this game tonight. In the Atlantic Division, Tampa Bay, 6 of 8 teams. There's only two teams below them. But from the glass half-full standpoint, they're only 4 points out of second place there in the Atlantic Division. And a similar kind of situation with the Nashville Predators. They're tied as far as next to last with Minnesota, only Chicago worse than them in the Central. However, entering play tonight, Nashville only 6 points out of second in the Central.
Well, and it's apparently Kyle Turris's night to return after, you know, shoot, I've lost track of how many games he'd been a healthy scratch. So, you know, he's going to have a chance to get on the ice. I'm thinking he's going to be a little motivated to show what he can bring to the table for the Predators or anyone else that's out there. So, you know, we'll see. The Predators are coming off a kind of an ugly loss. You know, they had the nice win in Carolina, shutout for Pekka, you know, big career win for him. And then they turn around and kind of stumble on the road. So after that, now they can try to build on this. If you go out there and win tonight, then the last game was just a blip, and yes, maybe Kyle Turris does some things to, you know, to make everyone happy. And, you know, I'm very curious to see what they do coming forward, because now they got, what, 3 games at home. We'll see if they can build some momentum, because, you know, let's face it, we just haven't seen them do that. And, you know, building momentum right now is a good thing, if only to put that horrible skid in the distant rearview mirror.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, that losing streak and that stretch that we're talking about, you know, last month. I mean, you're not going to be able to recover from that if you're winning a game, losing a game, winning a game, losing a game. You need some consistency. You need to be able to put together, it doesn't even have to be a long winning streak, just be able to put together something you can call a winning streak to bounce back from, you know, that stretch we're talking about.
Exactly. And, you know, just start stringing some stuff together. You don't have to go on a 10-game winning streak. But, you know, that old thing of, you know, like win every 2 of 3, you know, that kind of gets you into a bit of a rhythm. And then at a certain point, yes, the team should be able to put together more than a few and get on a little bit of a run. We saw it early this season. And that is absolutely possible for them to get on again. And, you know, that's the thing. You get on a little bit of a run, you climb those standings faster. But you got to keep throwing in wins here and there just so that you don't get shuffled back into the pack, to steal a NASCAR phrase.